in your Bibles. Titus 3, verse 5 this morning. Titus 3 and verse 5. Now, if you want to know where Titus is, you've got to sort of come after 1 and 2 Timothy. Titus is the next little book. It's before the book of Hebrews. The navigation of the Bible, eh? Titus chapter 3 and then verse 5. I'll just read this one verse and then we'll pray. Now, the Word of God says this. It says not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Let's just pray. Father, thank you again this morning. I ask God today that, Lord, the book would be, Lord, real to our hearts, our minds this morning, and may help me, Lord, today to impart this thought today, Lord, that you've given us. We ask that, God, you would use it, and we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to bring you this message today, and when you look at this verse here, and he says here, he said not of righteousness, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And every time I look at that verse, and you think of the word regeneration, you know, you sort of realise and understand that God is the recreator. He created us, and then he recreates us when we get saved. He puts a new birth inside us, which we'll look at a little bit later. And that regeneration is a word that I love seeing, and I know some of you here, when you go out back, and who's seen the parched land just regenerate after a little bit of rain? And, you know, we've got tourists that come all over the world hoping to see that. And if you have seen it, and you really do have to go a fair way out to really appreciate it. But when you do see it, it's spectacular. It is spectacular. And it really is something to behold. But I want you to think of this word regeneration. If, as we as born-again believers say that we possess Christ, then this is what he's saying. And that regeneration is something that God does in our life. And I suppose it's sort of like this. I don't always think some people are saved or they've been regenerated. If you're preaching, I said to Betty the other day, I said, it's like sometimes people sit in a service and they kind of look at you and they kind of go, I dare that you bless me. and they got no, and if you really think about it, where's a regenerated life in that person? And if you really think what God is saying here, He's created, He's doing a recreation. And if you look at this world, if you look at creation, and there are times when I enjoy looking at creation. I think Martin said it's just nice just to look at the world, at the plants and everything, just knowing that God made it. You don't have to rethink it. You don't have to go back, which the world does, and they like their archaeology. You know, they like going back, whatever, looking for bones and all this stuff. And it was so funny the other day. They've got all these bones that they find, and these little tiny bones. And anyway, they found this bone of some guy that was supposed to have been born, you know, trillions of years ago, and he's part of Nathaniel Man or whatever the name is. But have you seen the chart? You know, we come from monkeys and. And Dan said, why are the monkeys still here? Would we evolve from them? But anyway, they found this bone, one little bone in China. And they said, well, we think this ancient man of a million years ago, and he died out recently. Have you ever thought that maybe the bone that died out recently is modern man. Is mankind. And we know that mankind has been on this planet for 6,000 years. But you know, but really when you look at science, or you look at mankind looking back and try to figure out evolution and whatever the case might be, it's totally insane. It's insanity. And the world, and unfortunately we have the media now, and I think the media is the biggest problem, because everything you see, they're always talking about, you know, 10 million years ago, 5 million years ago. They're always doing it. They're making a lot of money out of all this sort of stuff. But anyway, but apart from that, he's the creator. And I want to give us a thought this morning, and as I looked at this verse, I want to give us this thought. And I'll title this message, Inside Out. I'll give you a thought this morning on Inside Out. And God does a work here, and it's a regeneration. And you realise that the world, since before when I was saved, that I could only look on the outside in. Before I became a Christian, before I got saved, it wasn't then till I could look from the inside out. Go over to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And this time of the year, we'll use this message sort of for now, this particular season, as you want to call it. But in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 9, when the wise men came from the east, as we know the story of them coming to find the king, and the Bible says is that they came to, go to Matthew 2, go to verse 2, sorry, go to verse 2, Matthew 2, verse 2. When they came from the east, they said to the king, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, come to worship him." Do you understand that the question in the New Testament was, "Where is he?" The first question in the Old Testament, "Where art thou?" As Adam and Eve hid from God. But these wise men came and they asked the question, where is he? But I want you to understand that they were the ones that looked from in out. They looked from the inside out. What do you mean? They had the scriptures. They looked from the inside out, coming looking for the king. And so the wise men from the east were looking from the inside out. And isn't it something when you start looking at the Word of God, you know what starts to happen? You start looking from the inside out. But until that time, the only way I can look before was from the outside in, and I'll explain this in a moment. We'll come to this in a second. And listen to me, that you know we live in a hard time today, because you know mankind and even Christians, the appetite for God, man just does not have an appetite for God. When man was born, he was born spiritually dead, and he was happy being born spiritually dead. He has no appetite for the things of God, would you agree? And of course, an appetite is a desire or want or something to feed upon. And since the garden, since Adam, man then being spiritually dead, and I want everyone to think that the only way mankind has been able to look is from the outside in. It's the only way he's been able to look. He has not been able to look from the inside out. And I want to give that thought to us this morning. And it's an important thought, how we deal with people and how we come across people in our daily life. But, you know, man just doesn't have an appetite for the things of God. It's the way he looks at it. I like the comedian's take of Mr. Bean looking at the nativity scene, and And you might say, well, this just sounds very reverent, Simon. And there was a little nativity scene in a supermarket or a toy store, and it had all these little toys around it. And you know what Mr. Bean do? He's looking from the outside in. And next thing you know, he's looking at this little baby in this little crib, and next thing you know, he sees a little helicopter over there, so he brings in the helicopter. And then he drops down the nurse. And the nurse comes, you know, for this little baby being born. And then he finds a little ambulance and brings all the ambulance in. And he's got all this whole little story evolved around this little baby being born with all these little toys he's bringing in it. And you might say, well, Brother Simon, that just sounds, I mean, I thought it was hilarious. but, you know, you might say, well, Brother Simon, that just sounds, that's just totally irreverent. Well, don't you get it? That's the only way a man can look. He looks from the outside in, and he looks from the outside in. Guess what? He just doesn't get it. Before I was saved, I was called the enemy of God. Let's just be honest, didn't we just mock the things of God? Of course we did. Before I got saved, I just mocked the things of God. I did not expect the world to do anything different than that. Because that's the only way they can look at it. And they look at it and they just can't see anything in it. And Mr. Bean, he realised the world and religion look from the outside in. And you really look at this time of year, they are desperate to make something of it. They really are. This world is nuts. They get lost people up to sing carols. They are so desperate to make something of something, and it's just an abomination, would you agree? It's just a load of nonsense. We won't turn there, but the Word of God says that, as we looked at last week, and now and then, the then and the now, you know, when we looked at that crib, it's nice to know that Jesus was there. He's not there any longer, amen, and the Word of God says, because he have appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he have ordained, whereof he have given assurance unto all men, in that he have raised him from the dead. Now you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, where is he? He's in heaven. How do you know that, Brother Simon? Well, we know it because that's the fact. That's the Word of God. That's the fact. And we look from the inside out. And we know that now Jesus is risen from the dead. That's something, isn't it? That's the fact. I have the facts in my hand. But if I was to do this morning, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to put this jacket on for a moment. Now, just humour me. Just humour me for a moment. See what you think. I said, well, Jan's not in here. I'm going to put this jacket on for a moment. Now, I got this jacket on here. Now, what does everyone think?
Inside out.
It's what?
Inside
it's
out.
Inside out.
Yeah.
Not a really good jacket to show the thing, but you know, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Why would you wear the jacket inside out?
It's dirty on the outside.
It's on the inside out. And you know what? If someone's to walk in here, they'd say, that's ridiculous. Look at that guy. As Martin said, he's supposed to be a pastor. Look, he's got his jacket inside out. He looks a total fool. What an idiot. Man, that guy's a fanatic. Why would you wear your jacket inside out? Now, come on, isn't that what the world thinks of us? They look at us and they think, man, you've got it inside out. They think it's ridiculous. They think it's ridiculous that we come to church and we look into the Word of God. And I understand you think it's ridiculous because you're looking at it from the wrong way. So I won't wear this because I'll probably die of a head exhaustion. And you'll get annoyed with me. And I'm glad Jan wasn't in here, I mean. So the reason man looks from the outside in is, let's go to John chapter 3 verse 6, which is the when Jesus said he must be born again to Nicodemus. Okay, I'll read it from, let's read it down from verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Then Jesus just changed the subject. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So I want you to notice the first thing he says to Nicodemus, unless you get born again, you cannot what? See. And we're looking from the inside out. So he says, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And of course, he's talking of the first birth that we all have, and that first birth comes through our parents right back to Adam. And then Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is what?
Spirit.
So Jesus makes it very clear statement, and the clear truth of this verse that is the clarity of it is that what is born of the flesh is flesh, and what born of the Spirit is Spirit. And because our earthly parents can only begat, I'll use the 1611 terminology, amen. Our earthly parents can only begat after their likeness. Because they were born after the flesh and so are we. So our earthly parents, they can only begat after their likeness because we all come from Adam's fallen race. So, you know, because when you think about that, mum and dad, and they have children, think about most religions. If you go back to the Middle East or the Eastern Asia religions, you know what they always do? Kinesiology, yoga, whatever the strain might be. You know, all the workshops, all the new age that came out to this country, especially in the 90s, to try to improve the flesh. All their counselling is based on one thing. Blame your parents. It was the parents' fault. There was something in the family that caused you to do this. What a load of rubbish. I've seen some stuff on the news lately that some young people have done. It's got nothing to do with their parents. It's just pure evil. But they blame the parents. It's some hereditary problem. Why? Because I was born after the flesh. And isn't it funny that with kids? And parents always say this, depending on the behaviour of the child. Well, he or she takes after a father. Really? You know, flesh has a way of recognising flesh, amen? Or the other way around. Oh, well, that's my daughter. Oh, really? But that's the nature that nature is the nature that we all have. That human life is flesh. It's where it's born from. Oh, they're just like me. And, of course, the worst thing that I see is that isn't it terrible today that we see parents who didn't have maybe some of the talents that their children did, now try to live their life through their kids by taking them down and playing sport and all that other kind of nonsense. But that's the flesh, isn't it? And look, it's true that the outside preference of each individual might vary. That's just preference, you know. Maybe the son might like something the father does. That's just an outside preference. But just turn with me. Go to Matthew chapter 5. I should have told you to keep your finger there in Matthew. Just go to Matthew chapter 5. See what Jesus says here. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. And hopefully I've got the right verse for us. Verse 28. Notice Jesus says to them here, talking about adultery, he says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her," notice the next word, "have committed adultery with her already," where? In his heart. You know, man can only look from the outside in. And when man looks upon a woman, men, maybe I should say men and women today, amen. Come on. I was up in Toowoomba the other day and I saw two young ladies walking around holding hands and they looked so proud. That they could step out and be so proud of their so-called lesbian relationship. And you know, I looked at their face, and all I could see was one word: pride. But you know what Jesus said here? You know what Jesus is saying? We might have a different preference on the outside, but all our inside is exactly the same, because the inside is born of the flesh as well. I love the saying: you can put a pig in a suit, but it's still a what?
Pig.
You know, I see photos. I see a lot of photos of big churches, and I see these big rows of people standing in church, and they're all, you know, neatly dressed, and they just sit there, and I look at it, and then there's some guy up like me this morning preaching, and they're just sitting there, and the whole place just looks. It looks dead. You know why? That's the outside. That's just the outside. And somehow religion, because mankind can only look from the outside in, have you noticed that religion will keep growing? It will keep growing because man can only look one way. And it's from the outside in. And somehow mankind gets this thing that if I can look good on the outside, or if I can just be there, or I can, whatever, if I can just be, man pleaser, whatever the case might be, it just looks good. And then you see people come to church and they all sit there and they all conform like sheep. But there's no life, there's no spirit, there's no regeneration, there's no joy, there's none of that seems to be amongst the people. They just seem to be so satisfied that they went to church. Who knows what I'm talking about? And come on, guys, be honest, do you really think my Heavenly Father, that's the way He intended it? I don't think so. Because that verse says regeneration by the Holy Ghost, who is the third person of the Godhead. God ordained, God, if you think about it, was God. Salvation is God's idea, not man's. He's the author of it. And then the Father, the Son are three in one, so therefore they all have the same nature, being spirit. And the Holy Ghost comes along onto the unborn sinner. And now the unborn sinner is brought into a place where now It's not the light of the flesh that they're coming up against. It's the light of the Son of God or the Spirit of God. It's a new nature. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost coming from the outside in. Have a look what Jesus says here. Have a look what Jesus says in John chapter 3. We'll go back to John chapter 3. So he says to Nicodemus, the man must be born again. And have you ever thought about the word man must be born again? That must is a what? It's a must. It must happen. It must happen. If Jesus said it must happen, that means it can happen. Would you agree? Jesus wouldn't lie to us. Well, not only that, it's written in the Word of God, so therefore the Word of God is perfect, it's pure, it's undefiled. God preserved it for us, amen. God is not lying to us when he says, you must be born again or you cannot what? See. Now, why did he say that? Because we can only see from the outside in, and God's saying, now, if you get born again, you're going to see inside out. That's what's going to happen. You're going to see inside out. And let's have a look at what Jesus says here about the Holy Spirit of God. He says in John chapter 3, let's read the whole context of it again. Pick it up in verse 1, verse 2. When they, at the same came to Jesus, this is Nicodemus by night, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now I want you to understand, what could Nicodemus see? He could see from the outside in. He could see the miracles that Jesus Christ did. Now those miracles were a sign to Israel that he was God manifest in the flesh. In Matthew chapter 2, the Bible says that it was Emmanuel with us. Because I want you to understand is that when the Son of God was born into this world, he had the very nature of God the Father, the God the Son, and the God of the Holy Ghost, because he was man and God. So therefore Jesus himself had the nature of God. And guess what Jesus could do? He could look from the inside out. Nicodemus could only look from the outside in. And he looked at the miracles. You know, really, come on, folks. And I'll put myself in this. We are a carnal, stinking lot of people. Because all our life is mainly evolved of living by sight. True? Why? Because I was born in the flesh and there's only one way I can see things, that's from the outside in. So therefore, my natural tendency is to live by sight. Every now and again, the Lord comes along and gives you a little bit of a jolt. He says, you're not meant to be looking that way, Brother Simon. Oh, you're right, Lord. I'm meant to be looking the other way. That's true, isn't it? God does that. He's got a knack of doing that for his children. He's got a way of doing those sorts of things. So he says here, so then verse 3, then Jesus answered and so immediately changes the subject. Said unto him, verily I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, somewhat mocking. And amen. Why would Nicodemus mock? You know, the smartest man in the world, or if you put all the smartest men in the world, from all ages, and you put them in all one room, and you give them the solution, and say, here's the solution, I want you to fix the solution of mankind. You know, there has not been one man on this earth who's ever come up with the solution that God the Father did, and God said, you must be saved by grace. Doesn't matter how smart man is, man cannot come up with the solution. And it wasn't though that God said, I'm just going to patch up the problem now that man fell in the garden, and he died spiritually. What does Ephesians 1:3 says? Is that Jesus was ordained before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Interesting, isn't it? And because man's father, our father, is Adam, we come from Adam's race, then what happened? Before the foundation of the world, God said mankind is going to need a new father. Because as long as Adam is my father and I'm born of the flesh, can you understand that I can only look one way? Now, if man can only look one way, then would you say he is lost? Amen. He is lost. That's what the Word of God says. He says, we are lost. You might think you're going west, but I'll guarantee you'll end up in the ocean. As you go to Luke 1 verse 35. What do you mean? Man needs a new father. Let's have a look at the virgin birth. Let's have a look at the virgin birth of God using Mary as a vessel to bring in to this world his son. And in Luke 1 verse 35, the Bible says this. And the angel answered and said unto her, talking to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Who is? Holy Ghost. Now God's the author, Holy Ghost is the agent. And the Holy Ghost is going to come upon her, upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called what? The Son of God. When Jesus was born, who was his father? God. He didn't have Adam's hereditary, did he? He was sinless. He was without sin. His father was God the Father. And the Holy Ghost came shadowed over her. And as we know, a woman provides the body, but the very blood running through the veins of our Lord and Saviour was from the Father. Because he had the very blood of God, the God's blood running through his veins, he had very much the nature of God. That's why he says to Nicodemus, what's born of the Spirit is Spirit. God knew that mankind needed a new father, and the only father that could be was God the Father. You know the reason for the season? Jesus was born so mankind could have a new father. Was God your father before you were saved? No. Did you have God's nature before you were saved? No. So the reason that Christ came into the world was so he could give us the right Father. And he did that by the way of the new birth, by the way of the Holy Spirit. I'll come to the Word of God in a moment. And he did that way. Now, I want you to understand that he begat the Son of God's life in us. But he has not given us the resurrected body yet. That comes at the resurrection. But he's put God's nature in us, being born of the Spirit. Now, so go back to John chapter 3 again. Back to John chapter 3. You'll get sick of turning there, that's all right. John chapter 3. And we'll pick this back up again where Nicodemus mocks. And of course Nicodemus is mocking. He can only understand the one way that human life is made, and that's being born again, born by the mother. Then he says, Jesus, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is the flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now notice what Jesus says. He says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Notice verse 8. The wind bloweth there where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of what?
Spirit.
The Spirit. You don't know when the Spirit of God is going to move. We don't. Jesus said it's like the wind. And how can a man be born again but only by what? The Spirit. I'll add the Word of God in a moment. It's the Spirit of God. You know what the Spirit of God does? The Spirit of God starts taking the living Word of God and He shines the Word of God into the heart of man. For this book is called the Living Book. In Hebrews 4:12 it says that it is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, discerning and dividing the thoughts, the intents of the heart. Amen. And you know what happens is that as we start hearing and looking at the Word of God, we start listening to it, how the faith cometh by hearing by the Word of God, we start to hear the Word of God, and then we don't know when the Spirit of God is going to start to move on the lost person, because the person is lost. He can only look one way, and now the Holy Ghost is coming from without and is moving within the heart, and all of a sudden the person's heart starts to flutter a little bit. There's a little bit of conviction. There's something happening on inside of that soul, and that person realizes that they're lost. Who knows what I'm talking about? And you don't know when that's going to happen, amen? And that's what Jesus said. That's the Spirit of God. And He starts to move within our heart. When does this start to happen? When you start to learn to look from the inside out. How does that happen? When all of a sudden you start looking now into the Word of God. There's another word God uses. He uses the word illumination in Hebrews chapter 10. And He takes the written Word of God, and the Spirit of God moves and He illuminates it. You know what that means? It means to put light on it. And you know where that light starts to shine? It starts to shine in the void, the emptiness in the heart of man, because since the fall, man has been empty inside, and he can only look from the outside in, and he tries to satisfy what's in by trying to fix up the outside, amen? You can have any kind of religion, you can have any kind of sport, you can have any kind of lifestyle, but at the end of the day, it's all flesh, and it's all designed to somehow make the person feel a little better about themselves. But God takes the Word of God, and it's that quick, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and God does that by now the Holy Ghost, say, overshadowing the lost sinner, and starts to show them. You know why that is? Because mankind is lost. Lost. They can only see one way. Now, let me ask you. Did things start to turn upside down a bit when you started to hear the Word of God? Amen. Did we start looking at things from the inside out? And isn't it amazing? The family. Oh, it's Christmas time. Oh, I just love the family. Well, I have a certain affection for them. But I don't enjoy them as much as my spiritual family. Do you know why I don't enjoy them as much? Because they're always looking from the outside in. But they can't just sit down and enjoy that fellowship with you and say, hang on, I can now look from the inside out. I can start now to see things the way I didn't see. You know, when you hear people get saved, you know what they sometimes say? They come up to you and they say, I never saw it that way before. Amen. Now you're looking at it from the right way. You know, isn't it funny, you know, parents, you have your children, you have your kiddies and they're all so cute and wonderful when they're little babies and you love their little flesh, and even though they're little manipulators, as soon as they're born, when they cry because they want milk, and they're the most selfish little rabbits on this planet. But as the little kids get older, what is the very first thing the parents start teaching the children? Now,
Susie, make sure you look left and right when you cross the road. Now make sure you look to see whether the hot plate's turned on. Because our earthly parents have a responsibility for the human life that they have begun. Then they say that the inheritance is of the Lord, children are the inheritance of the Lord, and you do good parenting, I know you try. And we do good parenting for a while, but all of a sudden then the kids get a little bit older and then they just don't turn out the way you thought. And we can all say that in this room, can't we? We have all been a great disgrace to our parents. Yeah, you know why? Because as much as the parents looking from the outside in, so is the child. And the child has the same nature, has the same flesh nature. But until the child or the parent gets saved, what happens? We start looking at things differently. Now, as a Christian, well, I've been saved for 30 years, you know one thing that the Lord just knocks the crap out of me? Is this. Stop being so hard on lost people. They can't see it any other way. Amen? They just can't see it any other way. The worst thing I was saying, I think, in Christianity is what? Sometimes the expectation of parents in their children. But the truth of it is that the child's exactly the same as the parent. Unless the child gets what? Born again. Get saved. My problem was the other way around. I got saved and my parents did a flip on me. I thought Mum would have been real happy. It was probably just immediate conviction. You know, my parents didn't like, they did like and they didn't like it, but they saw the change. You know, they saw the regeneration. You know, my father said to me, he was a biochemist, he said, Simon, I've been trying to teach you to read all my life. Now that you've found Christ, you can't stop reading. That's what he said. There was the Ruckmans and all that, all their books. I devoured those books probably in the first 6 months of my salvation. I read a lot of them. I got every missionary book that I could find. I wanted to learn about how a Christian lives. I read the Word of God. I made sure that I read through the Bible in those days for at least once or twice a year. I couldn't stop reading. I went to church and I found that we were in a good Bible-believing church and all that, but I found that the habit of going to church was somehow making me feel as though I was losing the joy that I had in Jesus Christ. Because the church had become somewhat corporated or formulated. You know what I'm saying? Somehow then you lose that life that God put in you by that regeneration of the Holy Ghost. And he did that as soon as you believed on Jesus Christ. I mean, we have the facts here. We have the facts. I'm holding the facts. The fact is quite simply is this, that Jesus bore our sins, our griefs, our sorrows. He took upon himself our unrighteousness on the cross. That's a fact, isn't it? He was buried, he rose again. You know what a man has to do? It's just make Jesus Christ his or her personal saviour. You know what the Bible says? As soon as you believe upon him, that's all you need to do. And how does God do that? By the Word of God, the Spirit of God. As soon as you believe on Jesus Christ and ask him to be your personal saviour, you know what this book says? You just pass from death unto life. Whether you experienced it or not, that's exactly what happened the moment you believe on the Son of God. How do I know that? There's the facts. And then the Holy Ghost takes the facts and he implies them to you. And you know what the Holy Ghost says? He says, make Jesus Christ your personal saviour. I don't know how he does it. You hear the gospel and for some reason you start to just believe that.
As soon as you believe that Jesus will be your personal saviour, from that very moment on, God saves you by the Spirit of God, and then he starts to do what's called a recreation inside our hearts, and it's called that regeneration of the Holy Ghost. Neat, isn't it? But now I have this new life in me. You know what the Lord keeps saying? I left you in this world. I don't want you to be hard on people who are not saved. You say, why is that? Because here's the fact. The fact of the matter is, before a person gets saved, they can only look from the outside in. Go to Second Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, and then we'll look in verse 4. I'll give you a couple of Bible examples. We'll stop in a moment. Just a little bit of quick Bible here. Paul says this. He says that we've received this ministry. He goes down. He says, "In whom the god of this world, that Satan, have blinded the minds of them which what? Believe not." Sorry, no, verse 3. That's the verse I want. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to what? Them that are," what's the word? "Lost." What's mankind? All mankind is what? Lost. He can only see, and I want you to get this, he can only see from the outside in. Before I was saved, that's the only way I could see. I was ashamed of Jesus Christ. I denied him. I didn't want to be around those who were Christians, amen. I thought they were foolish. I thought they were ridiculous. We used to call them the JC Club at the restaurant that I worked in, because they used to come in on Sundays for their meals. Hey, I know how the lost people treat the Christian. I was one of them. I know what they think. I know exactly what they think. And guess what? I don't blame them. I used to think it was foolish too. But have a look at the verse. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the god of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest, I love the word of God, lest the light," here it is, "of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." What did the prodigal's father say when the son came home? Remember, he took the inheritance and went off into the world, and he ended up in the pig pen, and then God sent a storm, and he remembered, he said, "My father's house, my servants do better than I do." And he said on the way back, he said to his heavenly father, he said, "I've sinned." And his earthly father was there waiting for him. And his earthly father put on this great big feast, put the ring back on him, clothed him, got the fatted calf, and they had a great big meal, and there was joy, there was dancing. And the eldest son comes home and asks one of the servants, not the father, he said, "What is the meaning of this?" And the servant says that your father's youngest son has come home and we put on the best. And the father had put on the best for him. And then remember, the father comes out to the eldest son and entreats him. And says this, entreated him and said this, "My son was lost, but now is what? He's found." You know what the father was saying to the eldest son, who had the same problem, by the way? When he left, he just couldn't see it. He left and took the pig pen
where it turned around and you started looking, instead of from the outside in, you started looking from the inside out. And he was
there. I really love my Lord, I really do. I think we all could agree this morning, Al. We let him down so often. And the reason we let him down, and the Lord knows it, and I understand that it's by the grace of God. I thank Jesus Christ for his grace. I do thank God for the grace of God. I really do. You know what the grace of God is that he knows that we live in a world that we can only live by sight. But every now and again, I want you to think what the Holy Ghost does for us as believers. Every now and again, what he does, comes along and he just prompts us a little bit. And you know what he normally says? You've been looking at it the wrong way. Do you realize that this trial, this trouble, this thing that I've engineered from heaven itself and I've brought into your life, I know about? He does that. And you think, my Lord, what, this is just terrible. He says, no, you're looking at it the wrong way. You're just looking at it the wrong way. I want you to see that I sent it. You say, well, why would God do that? Because he wants us to look from the inside out. And as Jan said the other day, and I'll stop right here. Jan was at home and she normally reads her Bible in the morning and she's in her bedroom. I'm not normally in there. But I was in there in the morning, that morning. I think it was taking Martin down to Brisbane. And she said to me, she said, you know, Simon, you can't read this book and not keep away from sin. And isn't the truth is this. Sin will keep you from the book, and the book will keep you from sin. Because you know when you start, the more you read the Word of God, the more you read this book, the more you read the Bible, you know what it does? You're starting to look from the what? Inside out. And you know, really, next year, I would love to see more people reading this book. I'd love to see more people coming into this congregation. I'd love more people to learn and understand, hang on, I'm looking at it the wrong way. Isn't that why we're here? I do not want to be a church where we judge every person that comes in. You realise that when a person comes in, you realise that they've probably got no other way to look than the way they've been looking. True. But unless they get saved and born again, we've got some hope. But anyway, let's just pray and let's just finish on, what's our last hymn? Let's be upstanding. Let's do 506. I'll turn this off.